Today, Rebecca Davis with The Stand magazine stops by to give us some creative ways to be salt and light in the world around us.
We try our best to give our readers practical action steps that they can take.
Then, how does scripture memory heighten our capacity for spiritual intimacy with God? Pastor Andy Davis joins us to explain that.
If you give yourself to it and actually do memorize Philippians or Ephesians, I guarantee you will not think you wasted your time.
And what are some no-nonsense ways to teach financial stewardship to our children? Rob West, host of Faith in Finance, lays out a good action plan.
We can teach our kids to create a budget, live within God's provision, and understand that that's the key to every financial success.
It's the weekend of April 13th and 14th. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. On every episode of this program, we tell you all about The Stand magazine. In fact, most of our guests come from some article or review in the magazine. Well, what is The Stand magazine, and how can your home benefit from getting it? Joining me to talk about that is The Stand editor, Rebecca Davis. Good to have you with us again, Rebecca.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here again.
A lot of work, Rebecca, goes into every monthly issue of The Stand magazine. What is the overall goal behind publishing something like this?
The goal behind each issue of The Stand is to produce a quality print publication that does three things: that informs, equips, and activates. Mm-hmm. And that is consistent with the overall mission of AFA. This magazine is one of many tools through which AFA carries out its mission. And so with each feature story, news brief, commentary, I would say even some of the ads that go in our magazine, the purpose of it all is to provide information that spurs our readers to act mm-hmm. and to live in ways that transform the American culture and aid the local church in sharing the gospel.
Yeah, and also helping people with their discipleship and following
exactly.
Christ in that faith category. That's good. What is it about the magazine that would help someone to actually engage the culture around them, whether it's local or whether it's national?
Right. So engagement is key, and I think it's important to realize that is the intent of the magazine, is to engage the culture. And so I think back when our founder, Brother Don, started the ministry in the late 70s, his goal was to spur citizens to take action. And so he started that by writing a newsletter. Like, he would just put together a newsletter, several pages long, and in the beginning, he printed that himself, and he distributed it. And it had to do with what was going on in the culture, like what company was doing this, what company was doing that. And then he would give those readers like 1, 2, 3 steps of what they could do to make a difference. And so now, over 45 years later, we've gone from a newsletter that was several pages long typed to a 32-page full-color magazine. But our goal is still the same. Like, in every issue, we try our best to give our readers practical action steps that they can take. Whether those steps are in the form of a sidebar that complements a feature story, whether those steps are in the text of the story, we even point our readers to valuable resources that are helpful. We point them to different arms of our ministry, like iVoter Guide, so that we can help them wisely. And then we even provide legislative contacts on page 6 of every issue of the magazine. So if you feel motivated, if you feel an urgency to contact your local legislative representative, then we give you information on how to do that. iVoter Guide does that as well.
And so that's in every issue, isn't it?
It is. It's on page 6 of every issue. And we want to provide that information so that after you read the information that's in the magazine, then you don't just go, okay, that's what do I need to do? Like, we want to give you something to do that will make a difference.
How can people share this content? Let's say we have a subscriber that's getting it. They want to share this with someone else. What are some practical ways?
Yes. So that is super important to us. We definitely want the magazine to be shared with others. And we get requests all the time from readers who want to seek permission to reprint something, and we do grant that. There's a little bit of paperwork that you have to go through with our legal department, but we do grant permission to reprint some things. Sometimes they simply want to just photocopy an article as is and maybe hand it out to their Bible study group or something like that. And then sometimes we have people that just call and ask for additional copies so they can just have more copies of one issue and can share with others. And so that is just a big encouragement to us when they do that. And of course, again, we want to get the message out.
Okay.
That's the purpose of it all. And then one thing that's always been very encouraging to me is that we have some faithful subscribers who place the Stand magazine in their local doctor's offices, their local businesses. We've even had some people in the past who, I mean, they subscribe, they get a bulk subscription just so they can hand it out to
others.
That's
great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Well, let's get to the big question. How can people get a subscription? How much does it cost? What's the process?
Okay. All right. There's several answers to that.
All right.
But we do offer a variety of subscriptions. We offer, of course, individual subscriptions that can be mailed directly to your home. We have gift subscriptions. We have church or bulk subscriptions. And so there are a lot of different ways for you to get it. The easiest way to sign up for an individual subscription is to go online to afa.net, click on the donate button, and simply make a donation. The ministry says that a suggested donation of $25 or more gives you a yearly subscription to the Stand. But if you're interested in signing up your church to receive it in bulk quantity, or if you want to gift a subscription to someone, like say you already received the magazine, you're really enjoying it, you want to give it as a gift to someone, those are all options as well. And the best way to make any of those happen is to call our ladies in donor support. And you can do that by calling 662-844-5036 and choosing option 2. And they will be able to go over just the different categories and suggested donations for each category there. But here's the best part.
Okay.
If you you can receive a free 6-month subscription, we kind of call it like a free trial, by going to afa.net/the stand and clicking on the subscribe button. And then all you do is fill out your information there and then submit it and then just keep an eye on your mailbox. But I will tell you, it takes about 1 to 2 cycles of the magazine for you to start receiving that subscription.
Okay.
So if you subscribe today, you may not receive the very next issue. It may be a month or two from that time that you would receive it.
All right. That's pretty easy. We'll put all of these links on our podcast page today. And we do encourage people to get this magazine. It's a great way to become salt and light in the culture, to really have a way to influence the world around you. Rebecca Davis, editor of The Stand magazine, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Believers throughout the centuries have maintained a vibrant relationship with God through times of testing and persecution by holding fast to the truths of Scripture. Now, what's the connection between spiritual flourishing and the Word of God? And better yet, how can we experience that? We're going to talk about that with Andrew M. Davis. He's the senior pastor of First Baptist Church, Durham, North Carolina, and founder of Two Journeys Ministry. We're going to talk about his book, How to Memorize Scripture for Life. Andy, it's great to have you with us today.
Jeff, I'm excited for this conversation.
Well, you have an amazing story. You've memorized 46 books of the Bible to date, which is hard to imagine. How did this journey start in the first place?
Well, I came to faith in Christ my junior year at MIT, and I was discipled through Campus Crusade for Christ ministry, now known as CRU. And the discipler, a mentor named Tim Schumann, got me into memorizing individual verses through the Navigator's Topical Memory System, which is still a great way to begin memorizing. But in the course of time, I started just having a desire to memorize longer passages and eventually epistles. So I was on a mission trip in Kenya and sitting on a bench, nothing to do, but I had my Bible with me, and I started on Ephesians. That was the summer of 86, and that began the journey that I'm still on today.
Now, what's the advantage of memorizing extended passages of Scripture as opposed to a single verse or two?
Right. Well, any memorization that people do will help them, and so people can and should begin in a simple way, and so they can memorize John 3:16 or maybe something else. But in the course of time, as you develop your skills, it's going to be beneficial to memorize verses in context and being able to understand the flow of argumentation, let's say in an epistle or longer stories, narratives, portions of a miracle that Jesus did, and that's going to require more than just individual verses. Also, the advantages are that there's some hidden gems that really aren't hidden. They're in the Bible, but you know they're not famous. They're not the famous verses, but they speak to you in powerful ways when you do, let's say, a whole chapter and eventually a whole book. So that's how I got into it, and that's what I advocate.
You've been a pastor at First Baptist Church Durham for many, many years. How has memorizing Scripture helped you in your pulpit ministry?
You know, I almost can't measure how vital it's been. First of all, it just starts with my own walk with Christ.
Okay.
Jesus said, "I am the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask whatever you wish and it'll be done. This way you can bear much fruit." And so just my day-to-day walk with Christ has been deeply enriched by memorization. But beyond that, just in terms of my calling as a pastor, I'm a preacher. I'm a sequential expositor, so I go through passages of books of the Bible, you know, book after book. I've been here 25 years. And the memorization I've done feeds that pattern of preaching better than anything else. So I often have memorized the whole book before I begin preaching any sermon from it. And I have, you know, deep, careful meditations that I've already done in the time that I spent memorizing that book.
Do you find that the Spirit of God brings these things to memory in the exact time that you need them, even though you hadn't planned for that?
Absolutely, Jeff. What a great insight. And that'll happen in counseling, you know, or in evangelism. But even while preaching, there's some things that I hadn't planned on saying. And it comes in my mind, and it passes, you know, the kind of rational test I have in my mind. It's like, I really think I should say this. But I look back on it, and I say, yeah, definitely, the Holy Spirit handed that to me. And so more than anything, the reason I memorize is for insight. That's what I'm looking for. I want to understand the passage. And that never leaves, even though I do stop reciting a book and can't recite it, you know, sometime afterwards, and it drops away. You know, those 46 books, I can't recite all of them. I never claimed that. But I work on it for 100 consecutive days, and then I let it go. But the insights stay with me.
You know, that seems to be the real treasure of this whole process, of really encountering God in a very unique way, in a very intimate way. Talk just a little bit, if you will, about how Scripture memorization is linked to spiritual growth. And I'm talking specifically about holiness, resistance to temptation, and so forth.
Yeah, so many ways. Just intimacy with Christ, memorizing the Gospel of Mark, and now I'm memorizing Luke, the last book I'm working on in the New Testament, so that's exciting. But just going over the accounts and seeing his character, seeing his tenderness, like I'm memorizing Luke, and in Luke 7, he sees a widow, and her son's being carried out, and he's the only son that she has, and there's an intimacy, his heart goes out to her, there's that compassion, and I feel the Lord's love for me as I'm reciting that passage. So there's that sense. And then you mentioned holiness. You know, one of the most famous memorization verses is Psalm 119, verse 11. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Or again in Ephesians 6, "Take the sword of the Spirit," which is the word of God. We can fight sin powerfully with the word of God.
Andy, how does memorizing Scripture apply to other spiritual disciplines like prayer, for example?
Well, definitely prayer. You know, it's a conversation. And so I really believe God speaks to me through his word, and I speak back to God through prayer. And, you know, Psalm 119 itself is a very great example of the link, the intimate link between the Word of God and prayer, because the whole psalm, for the most part, is written in the second person, you this, you that, your word, but it's about God's Word. So that's a conversation between the believer and God through the Word of God and prayer. So that's a good example, is how prayer and Scripture are linked.
Let's get to some practical issues of maybe some objections. What do you say to the person that says, for one reason or another, I just cannot memorize Scripture?
Well, I don't say that it's easy. It is hard work. It's a discipline. It's just repetition over time. That's it. It's no big secret. Okay. You just go over it day after day, and it is hard work. But just the development of that discipline is good for our souls. It's also just in general good for us to feel our weakness. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. But I also lean on some insights that I got from Scripture. In Luke 24, for example, it says, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Scripture. God has the power to give you a better memory than you ever thought you had. But I also think we just in general have better memories than we think we do. I wonder if sometimes, I want to say this with all gentleness, sometimes we just make excuses. It's going to be hard work, we know it, and it's like, nah, I just don't want to do that. But I think once you get into it, I am going to make this promise. If you give yourself to it and actually do memorize Philippians or Ephesians, I guarantee you will not think you wasted your time.
Yeah. Now, I know that you're a graduate of MIT. You have a very analytical mind. You're obviously intellectually disciplined. If you could speak to the overall process of how you go about memorizing Scripture. For example, what part of the day do you do that? Do you incorporate this with your quiet time? How do you manage the time it takes to do that?
Right. Well, there's two different parts of memorization. There's memorizing new verses that I don't know, and I have to do nothing but that, and that's a focus time in the morning, and it would be part of my quiet time. But then there's the recitation of verses. I do it for 100 consecutive days, and after about 20 days or so, I pretty much have it, maybe more. And then I can do it while driving or, you know, when I'm doing some mindless thing. Or I like to ride a bike for exercise, so while I'm riding a bike, I can recite the well-known portions and get that box checked. So there's, yeah, but it's just repetition. I read it 10 times, I say it 10 times, I say it the next day 10 times, and then I say it every day for 100 days, and then I kiss it goodbye, let it go.
Okay, and your book outlines that whole process.
Yeah.
Do you also recite the verse that goes with the Scripture, or do you recite the entire passage?
I do recite chapter and verse numbers.
Okay.
But then I drop them off when I speak them to others because it sounds weird. But it's like a matrix or a structure that helps me remember where everything fits. But it's not required. I think you can memorize without doing, you know, like I would say 2:3 for chapter 2, verse 3, or 11:17, something like that, the numbers. And, you know, it helps it separate it out, but I don't think it's required. I think it's just a helpful tool, but it is extra work.
Once again, the name of the book is How to Memorize Scripture for Life by our guest, Andrew M. Davis. You can find that book and much more information, helpful resources at the website twojourneys.org. Andy, it's been great to have you with us today. Thank you for the inspiration and encouragement that this book is going to be to so many people to help us internalize the Word of God. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, Jeff, it's been a delight talking to you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a healthy idea to want our children to be financially independent when they become adults. After all, we want them to be better off than we are when they grow up. But the question is, what path can we take to get to that destination? Here to help clarify that is President of Kingdom Advisors and host of the program Faith and Finance, Rob West. Rob, welcome to the Stan Radio.
I'm delighted to be with you today.
A lot of our listeners enjoy your program, Faith and Finance, heard weekdays at 9 here on AFR. But I'm going to ask you to look into the future just a little bit in terms of the opportunities that exist for our children. What does the financial future look like for today's teens and preteens? Are they going to have the same opportunities we had?
You know, I would probably say a cautious optimism. You know, America is, of course, a land of great opportunity. We have the largest and strongest economy in the world. We're right in the midst of seeing some of the latest technological advances play out with artificial intelligence. And there's great opportunity. And yet, alongside that, there are real challenges. Of course, the incredible national debt that we have that just continues to skyrocket is a real problem. We are facing inflation right now that's certainly higher than we would want it to be, and over the last couple of years has been extremely high. We have declining birth rates, a lack of work ethic. I mean, we're on an unsustainable track here, and then, you know, the rubber meets the road with housing prices. The average house in this country is now $400,000 and climbing. So what do we do with that? Well, I think that optimism piece is around getting an education, working hard, voting for leaders who understand a biblical worldview of economics and wealth creation, and then managing what God has entrusted to you, and in the case of our kids, training them to manage what God will entrust to them through a biblical lens, understanding a biblical worldview, and then these principles we find in Scripture, such as living within our means and avoiding debt and setting long-term goals, and then ultimately trusting God for everything.
What are some of the basic principles or values that we can teach our children that would help prepare them for their financial future?
Yeah. Well, I would start with the idea that God is our ultimate treasure. You know, we were created for abundance, and the world would have us to look to satisfy that desire for abundance in the creation rather than the creator. And so we need to remind them that their self-worth doesn't equal their net worth, and money is one of God's good creations unless it becomes a ruling thing in our lives. I think the second big idea is what you just alluded to, and that is the idea that we're a steward, not an owner. You know, the Bible's clear. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So a steward seeks the master in managing the master's resources. Owners, on the other hand, go it alone. So we need to seek biblical wisdom, and that's where we can teach our kids to create a budget, live within God's provision, and understand that that's the key to every financial success. I think the value of hard work can't be underestimated enough. You know, we were created to be workers in the image of God. That's not a result of the fall, and we can glorify God when we're productive, and there's a virtuous cycle of work as unto the Lord that leads to economic expansion and the ability to be generous. I think teaching them the dangers of debt and the importance of giving generously to participate in God's activity. So I think these are some of the fundamental ideas that we can't miss.
Yeah, great principles there. I think every parent knows all too well how children can imitate what they see in mom and dad.
Yeah.
In terms of negative examples, Rob, what do we need to avoid when it comes to what we're putting before them daily?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to understand that, just as you said, more is caught than taught, and so we have to live it out. If we want our children to learn how to pray, we can't pray in our closets and expect them to understand what we're doing. And so we've got to model that, and the same is true in our financial lives. Now, that's good and bad that they're always watching, so we want to be intentional. We can't deal with our finances haphazardly. So what does that look like? Well, for instance, if you're in the grocery store or out shopping and a child asks for a particular item, rather than just saying, you know what, we can't afford it, why don't we use that as a teaching opportunity to say, you know what, we have limited resources and we operate on a budget and we have a plan for how we use God's money. You know, Julie and I, 1 month, gave our kids the eating out portion of our spending plan. And we said, all right, you guys are going to sit around the table and figure out how we're going to use that this month. And it was just so much fun to watch them negotiate back and forth and realize how quickly it goes.
Yeah. Rob, we often refer to the passage in Deuteronomy, you know, where we're commanded to teach our children diligently in all parts of the day, when we rise up, when we lie down, and so forth. What priority should we give to money management when we consider the big picture of discipleship in our children?
Oh, it's got to be a huge priority. You know, when we look at the data, 77% of Americans have anxiety over money. We know that more than 70% of couples say it's a source of conflict. I saw a Bankrate study last week that said 44% of Americans couldn't afford a $1,000 unexpected expense. And so it's just a real challenge. And when we look to God's word, we see that it's a primary competitor to lordship. Just look at the parable of the sower. You know, when the
disciples asked Jesus, what was it that choked out the word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return? He said, it was the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the cares of this world. So we see in Matthew 6:24, we cannot serve God and money. This is an enormous area that we have the opportunity to lean into, because my experience is that when we get this area right, look at it through a biblical lens, it has a ripple effect into every other area of our lives, including our intimacy with the Lord.
Yeah, it touches on everything. Let me ask you a simple principle on about allowance. I mean, that's something that parents talk about from time to time. Is it wrong to give our children an allowance, or should they earn that money when they're working and doing their chores around the home?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, my approach is to say, listen, there are certain expectations of things you will do to be a part of our family. We're all going to divide up some responsibilities. You have an expectation that you're going to make your bed when you leave in the morning and keep the clothes off the floor. And, you know, we had a chore chart in our house where every week it changed, but each person had a certain responsibility. And those were just expectations. But I think one opportunity is to say, above and beyond that, we're going to give you a chance to earn, based on hard work, some additional funds. And, you know, there's a list of things you can do above and beyond, and you'll be compensated for those. And by the way, if you do a job halfway, you're going to get paid halfway for it. That's the approach we took. Others say, no, we're just going to give that systematic allowance automatically. I think you can go one of both ways. The key is teaching the principles on how to use that allowance. That's the most important thing. So using at the youngest of ages of glass jars with give, save, spend, I think, you know, is a great beginning point for using an allowance.
Rob, take us back to your childhood just a little bit. Growing up, what did you experience from your parents that shaped the way that you thought about money and stewardship?
Well, this is so important, because our understanding of money, how we view it, and the ideas around how we handle it, according to the data says, are really firmly in place by the age of 9. So our experiences and our background impact how we spend money as an adult, good or bad. Now, in my life, I watched my parents model generosity. What did that look like? Well, my mom and dad started a home for unwed mothers. We constantly had somebody living with us in that extra bedroom that was just going through a different season of life. So I got to see that at the earliest of ages, and I guarantee you that has shaped how I view and handle money in my life today.
Our guest today is Rob West, president of Kingdom Advisors and host of Faith and Finance here on AFR. If you'd like to find out more about his ministry, go to the website faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. There's also a helpful book by Matt Bell that might help you teach and train your children about stewardship. It's titled Trusted: Preparing Your Children for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. Check that out. We'll put that link on our podcast page. Rob, it's been great to talk with you. Thanks for your insight today.
Delighted to be with you.
Next week, we'll talk about young men and mental health with Dr. Jessica Peck, and hear one family's journey through the tragedy of losing their son to a trap that's going around on social media. It could be a timely program for your family. Today's program can be heard again at AFR.net, or look for us on iTunes and Spotify to subscribe to the podcast. And for monthly articles on culture, faith, and family, get your free 6-month subscription to The Stand magazine by going to afa.net/thestand. I'm Jeff Shambly. It's been great to be with you today. Join us next time here on The Stand Radio.